This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Baby.
I certainly can't seek comfort in the longevity of my career.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
You know how I feel about Mike Tomlin. I understand why it is ending.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Steelers Radio Network host, Jerry Dulac. Comedian, Adam Ray. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Man, I don't need to tell you this, but anything can happen over the next 3 hours. It's just been a crazy, crazy sports world in which we live, and we're thrilled to be able to bring whatever's happening to you here on Disney Plus or the ESPN app, if that's how you're taking this show in with your eyeballs. You're listening to us on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, or our podcast. We welcome all of you calling us at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We got four guests today. We're four wide. So much to discuss in this world. And as I mentioned, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on this front. Kurt Warner is going to be first up. Last time he was on, I'm like, what do you think of John Harbaugh's firing? Now I'm going to be like, what do you think of Mike Tomlin's stepping down in Pittsburgh? It's kind of crazy. And Kyle Brandt's joining us from Good Morning Football on NFL Network. And of course, the overtime version on our former place of business, the Roku channel. We're also thrilled to have Adam Ray back here in studio. Wants to crow about his Seahawks. Jerry Dulac to say, what in the world is happening with Mike Tomlin? I figured he should come on the show the day after Mike Tomlin steps down, after spending 14 years of 11 years of him being on this program and saying, hey, what's going on with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh?
Right.
Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich. What's up, man?
DJ Mikey Diaz. Morning, Rich. Nuts. Mike Del Tufo in his spot. Candles lit, is it not? TJ Jefferson. Good to see you over there.
Yeah, same to you, man.
Awesome. So we start with 10 days ago. This is how fast the world changes. 10 days ago, Sunday Night Football, final game of the regular season, Steelers playing in the Ravens, playing the Ravens for the right to go to the playoffs. Loser goes home, winner goes on. As we know, Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh shaking hands. Harbaugh been with the Ravens for 18 years, and Tomlin, the most tenured coach in the National Football League, being with the Steelers 19 years. And who knew this was a snapshot in time, the last time they'd be shaking hands in their longtime roles, taking on each other. The Ravens got bounced. Their kicker missed a kick with no time left. Steelers move on. Steelers get bounced. And Mike Tomlin bounces himself after John Harbaugh gets bounced a couple of days after this handshake. That actually happened in the National Football League. It's crazy. And now smash cut to today. Mike Tomlin is, wherever he is, wondering or considering his options for 2026. Everybody in the NFL media news and information world is signaling that Mike Tomlin will not coach in 2026. He's under contract for the next two seasons in Pittsburgh. If you want his services, you've got to contact the Steelers, who are holding a press conference right now as we speak with Rooney talking to the media, getting ready for his first coaching search in two decades. And Mike Tomlin apparently thinking about the media, I guess. And you need to contact Art Rooney if you want his services and offer compensation. I have no idea how the Steelers are going to value Mike Tomlin's services when somebody else is knocking on the door. I imagine it would be different if it's somebody within the division, the conference, out of conference. What Tomlin wants, there's a lot up in the air. And then there's John Harbaugh, who, as I am saying these words, is inside the building of the New York Football Giants. And the Giants, in case you're wondering, have gone through all of their coaching due diligence, have spoken to candidates that satisfy the Rooney Rule. They can hire John Harbaugh today if they so desire. And I would say they so desire, not only because of John Harbaugh's resume, not only because they absolutely could use somebody like John Harbaugh to come in the building and say, bring your sensibilities, bring your program, bring your culture, bring it. Bring it. Because we've tried the last few times with a bunch of first-time head coaches. We've done it. And it's now time for you to come in here, switch conferences, come into the so-called NFC money division, take on the Cowboys twice a year, take on the Eagles twice a year, take on the Commanders twice a year, as you know the DMV area very well from Baltimore, and you come in here and install it. You do for Jackson Dart what you did with Joe Flacco, what you did with Lamar Jackson after you moved on from Joe Flacco. You bring it. We like running the football here too. Let's do it. That's one reason why I'm saying the Giants are interested in John Harbaugh. Another is, interestingly enough, the mode of transportation in which John Harbaugh took to this meeting. I have been told they got the jet out for John Harbaugh to come to visit. Now, you might be sitting there saying, oh, Rich, you know, they're rich people. There's the jet, you know. And you know when the Tisch jet is in town because there's a New York Giants logo on the tail. I've seen it. And so they sent a jet for John. And much was made over the last couple weeks while the Giants were interviewing head coaching candidates. Kevin Stefanski, it looked like, was there was a photograph of him heading to Newark Airport from Cleveland Hopkins Airport. And these are... what shall we say? Commercial.
Oh.
And you go through.
So the Giants upgraded.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh to the PJ.
We were literally right before the show started.
And if you're flying your coach candidate to you via PJ.
Yeah.
You want his Jay Hancock on a piece of paper. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And it would make sense. Talk turkey. Let's get comfortable. Maybe we get a steak. We you know, John, do you like red wine, John?
Little Taylor ham, egg, and cheese.
You know, we pour something for him. You think, go out to dinner.
You think John likes chicken, unlike Jim?
I don't know if he's a nervous bird guy or not. But right now, in terms of his mode of transport, who's got it better than John?
Ooh, nobody.
So I'm excited for Giants fans, because if this does in fact happen, and I don't know what it means for Joe Shane. I don't want to get too far. I don't want to put the jet ahead of the runway here.
Sure. Can't let him leave the building though today, right?
No, I wouldn't.
No,
I wouldn't. The only way I'd let him out of the building is to take him out to dinner.
Yeah, go home and tell the wife.
I don't know. His wife may have been on the jet, for all I know.
She may be in Jersey looking at
Don't know.
Look at Tony Soprano's house. Yeah.
it's for sale.
It is. It actually is again.
Woke up this morning.
So that's the latest there. Steelers are holding a press conference talking about Mike Tomlin stepping down, and the Giants are having an interview in person with John Harbaugh after personally sending the jet for him, from what I've been told.
Exciting times, boys.
Love it.
I mean,
woo. Now then, back at the old John Harbaugh ranch, Steve Bisciotti, one of my favorites, and I'm not just saying that because he plied me with lots of red wine the night before a Thanksgiving game on NFL Network, and we're inviting all the NFL Network people out there. Speaking of a Harbaugh, John Harbaugh versus Jim Harbaugh on that Thanksgiving day, one of the few times I almost didn't answer the bell for a gig on television because Steve was pouring some good juice. He's good people, man. And he also, obviously, he and his wife, Renee, donate to Run Rich Run every single year, generously leading the way. This man's a leader. But you don't hear from him a lot, unlike your owner and general manager. He's just the owner, principal.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, you hear from Jerry every week. He's on the radio. He meets with the media after every game.
Videos.
Last time Steve Bisciotti spoke to a reporter in public, I imagine, was 2022. Last time he held just a general press conference where I'm here for you, you got an hour, ask me whatever you want, AMA, was 2018.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 8 years, calendar-wise, since Steve Bisciotti sat down at a press conference, open questions.
Why is my uncle like that?
And we'll just replay the soundbite that we played going off the air on Tuesday, him learning of Mike Tomlin's stepping down in Pittsburgh. And it had everything. It had the Bisciotti charm, the humor, a little bit of the red ass because he's still pissed about losing, the manner in which they lost to the Steelers, the manner in which Tomlin celebrated beating the Ravens. It's all one big 38-second microcosm. Hit it.
Mike Tomlin stepped down at Pittsburgh.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy shit, Mike. Wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job. Wow. Wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know. That thing last week maybe disqualified him for my opening after our kicker missed a kick to let them advance. Good for Mike.
Let them.
It's all in there. It's all in there. They didn't earn the win over us. We had them beat if our kicker had split the uprights.
Let them advance.
God, I love this guy again. So why fire John Harbaugh after 18 seasons? Steve Bisciotti said it was his gut.
Fell on my instincts. And whatever I was feeling was right. I woke up Monday and I was pretty sure that, you know, I was going to do it. And, you know, I've got great partners here and spent a lot of time with them and asking them their opinions. And, you know, I made the decision and it was a hard one. And as you all know, in your life, timing is never right. You can't say that timing is perfect in anything. But I got to the point that I didn't believe that I would feel regret after I made that decision. And that's what instinct is. When you finally get to the point that you're pretty damn sure that you are not going to regret the decision a day or a week later, then that's the time to make the decision.
He also pointed out in terms of specifics, the blown fourth quarter leads and the underperformance in the playoffs. He said at one point that when you blow as many fourth, that they led the league in fourth quarter blown leads, and winning organizations don't have those, is essentially, I'm paraphrasing what he had to say. Also not, you know, underperforming in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, since drafting him, the Ravens have won 86 regular season games, but as we all know, did not have yet to make the Super Bowl. And there's a lot of reasons why, like that they didn't make the Super Bowl, that John Harbaugh could control, other things that he couldn't, drop passes, fumbles, that, as you're about to get in the end zone to take the lead against the Chiefs. And in terms of his relationship with John Harbaugh and how it ended, because there a lot was made of this, that John wasn't in the building, was done over the phone or something like that. This is Bisciotti describing their conversation on the phone and how it went.
Obviously, it was emotional, and I'll be honest with you, most of that emotion came from me. I told my brother, I said it was the craziest firing in the world. I was the one choked up, and he was the one consoling me. He said, "You don't owe me anything," and you can picture John. "You don't owe me anything." He said, "You gave me 18 years. He said, "You picked a special teams guy. Who does that?" He said, "You altered mine and Ingrid's life forever because you took a chance on me. I am happy and content and disappointed, but I love you and I respect you and I respect your decision."
And in terms of his resoluteness of making this, despite the emotions behind it, leave no doubt, this was over. This was over. And Bisciotti had to have been thinking it for weeks going into that game on Sunday night. And this is the answer that left no doubt in my mind that this thing was over. And that wound, whatever he is feeling, is being cauterized by the excitement of choosing someone else.
If Tyler Loop makes that field goal, is John Harbaugh still here coaching this team?
For a week.
As he caps his bottle.
Yeah, and he didn't grin. He didn't laugh. Time. That wasn't a joke.
Nope. For a week.
Yep.
This thing was over.
Yep.
I guess the only way would have been if he had gone on some run for the ages.
Kind of like Flacco. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like for a week. He's like, hey, you want the bag? Win the Super Bowl. And he wins the Super Bowl, puts the bag on the desk.
Yep.
That's what happened.
Wow.
And I guess the media there, well, since we got you here, Steve Bisciotti, because you don't speak to the press, you don't speak to us, we might as well ask you, you know, what's the scoop with Lamar and a new contract for him?
He won another window, and Lamar knows that. And I think that he's amenable to doing something that that mirrors the last deal he did, although the annual number will be a little higher. But I'm hoping that it's plug a new number in the same contract he signed last year and move on.
Okay. And will he have a say in who the next head coach is? This, again, sums up Steve Bisciotti's style. Collaborative to a point.
How much of a say will Lamar have in the head coach selection?
A lot of say, but he has no power. I have the power. They have opinions, and I want them all. I care about my players very much, but I can't give them power.
Man, we need to hear from you more, Steve.
At least he came through the front door with it. Right?
Well, listen, you know, I totally understand that management style. Again, you know the way. You've been around me for, well, you, Chris, have been around me for around this show 14 years. Mike, yep. You've been around me for a long time. I didn't have full control of this program until it was, you know, dropped in my lap in a very stunning manner almost 6 years ago, mm-hmm. 7 years ago. Yeah, coming up on 7 years. And I have learned to, when anybody asks me something, there's no reason to say I'll think about it when I've already thought about it. I think people do appreciate the honesty, even though it can be blunt and you don't want know what you want to hear. But basically, hey, Lamar, I'm interested in what you're looking for. You know, you're employee number one, but at the end of the day, you're number one, but the word is also employee number one. And I hear you.
Yeah, I sign the checks, baby.
Yeah, I hear you. and again, just I'll tell a quick story here, even though I don't know if I don't think he cares about if it's public or not, in terms of what this team means to him, just as an example. Sure, I'll tell it. You remember the Stacey Keibler? She used to be a Ravens. Yeah.
Former wrestler.
Yeah. Right. I think she was part of the cheerleading squad,
she was,
right?
Yeah. She was.
Wrestler. Now she's got her own career doing other things. But I think she did Dancing with the Stars and yep. things of that nature. At once upon a time, she was dating George Clooney.
She was.
Yeah. Okay. And so she wanted to bring Clooney to a game. And he, you know, adores people who worked in the Ravens organization and her as well. But she asked if she could bring him to the owner's suite. He's like, absolutely, he can come to a game. I'd love to meet him. And then she goes, no, it's the game against the Bengals. And he's like, yeah, no. I'll set you up, but not where I'm sitting. This is my, you know, this is my job and passion. And as much as I love him, I love to meet him. Not today. Choose another game.
Yeah, Clooney, diehard Bengals.
You know what I mean? Like, and so, and again, I don't know, I'm telling tales out of school, but that I was told. So, I mean, this is his passion. This is what he's about. And it had to hurt him to fire John Harbaugh. But at the end of the day, 18 years, and the same thing with Tomlin. He basically read a room. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always thought it just was sad that Tomlin read the room. You know, obviously he created the room. But it's a rough room there in Western PA after all these years of not winning playoff games. And we'll find out if not winning playoff games is what the new coach will do, or maybe not make the playoffs at all. I'm curious as to who the Steelers are going to hire next.
Rich, 6,939 days. This is the first time in 6,939 days that Mike Tomlin is not the head coach
of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's great.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Kurt Warner is going to join us next. We'll ask him about that. The Philadelphia Eagles, as we all know, fired Kevin Petullo yesterday as well. We'll ask Kurt Warner one last time what went wrong with the Eagles offense. That's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
Quick break. Let's talk pizza. You want to bring restaurant-quality pizza home this football season? Get Frigidaire's Stone-Baked Pizza Oven. Fresh pizzas go from dough to done in just 2 minutes, right from your kitchen and ready before halftime. Perfect for watch parties or just upgrading pizza night without the delivery delay. Only from Frigidaire. Game-ready pizza. Get it today at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience returned towards the end of your answer right there, Kurt, as you were kind enough to hop on during our Disney Plus and ESPN app television streaming segment right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's jump into Aaron Rodgers, what you saw. Again, you were in the building. Art Rooney II saying, you know, Aaron came to Pittsburgh to play for Mike, so that it'll probably affect his decision about returning to Pittsburgh. That said, do you think he should find one more spot? Clearly, no one wants to end a career on a pick six, but his career before all that, his first ballot Hall of Fame, no question about it type stuff. And the ball still flies out of his hands. He was able to protect himself for most of the game against what could be, at the end of the day, the most ferocious defense that's left in the playoffs. Obviously, we'll see who else, like Denver or Seattle or whomever else, can affect things. What do you think, Kurt?
I think this is an interesting one. Like, first of all, you know, if you do want to keep playing, you have to look at options. What are the options to probably go back and play for a year? You know, you mentioned it. I mean, from a throwing standpoint, I mean, he's got plenty in the arm to be able to make every throw. I think this was a different Aaron Rodgers that we saw this year and really coming off the injury in New York. He doesn't seem as willing to stand in the pocket, let things develop and get the ball out of his hands. You know, he wants to get it out quick and quickly go to the check down, which I don't know is the best version to be able to push the envelope, and be successful. You know, when you're talking about playoffs and what have you, I don't know if the Steelers are a couple pieces away as if they go into the draft and get a couple pieces and all of a sudden they're a contender in, you know, the AFC or for a championship. And so I think so much of it comes down to where you can go and really why you want to keep playing. We talked a little bit about it on the show. Is it just because you love the game and you don't want to give it up until you have to, and there's still plenty physically that he can do? Or are you trying to prove something? Are you trying to accomplish something else to add to your legacy that, you know, maybe able to catapult you, you know, up closer to the top, or, you know, signify, you know, yourself as one of the greatest of all time. I think most people think, oh, it takes a couple championships to put yourself in that category. So if that's the reason that you want to keep playing, I think you really have to weigh, is there a spot out there that can do that and allow me to have that sort of success? Because if not, and you're just putting yourself in another difficult situation, is it worth it long term? So, I mean, those are a couple things that I think about with Aaron. I mean, just my gut is that this will be it, that he'll be done. But, you know, with Aaron, you don't put anything past him. And like I said, physically, I still think he's probably one of the 32 best in the world physically, if he finds the right spot to do what he wants to do.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania went 0-2 in home games and wild card weekend. And the Philadelphia Eagles did, in fact, let go their offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, at the end of the day. Kurt, what was wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles offense that you saw, that you know, you sense? Yeah. You have the floor.
I mean, I would just say that I understand the narrative around there has been that it's a simplistic type of pass game. And that is true. No question about it. But I will also say that that has been the majority of their pass game for a couple of years now, you know, through different coordinators. It hasn't changed a great deal. And so it's not as if they were really complex at one point and all of a sudden they got simple this year. And so, oh, we got to fire the OC. They've been simple for years, good, bad, or indifferent. They've had great success with the simplicity of that offense because they've been built around, hey, we're going to run the football. And when you take that away, we don't have to be complex on the outside because we've got the weapons and we can go and win one-on-one and we can have success. And so that's how they were built coming into the year. And the bottom line is they didn't execute and play very well this year. And it started up front. They didn't run the football well. They didn't have success. They had injuries up front. And then, you know, there wasn't a huge adjustment on the outside. And, you know, it leaves all the questions of why did they not make adjustments? Could they have made adjustments? You know, I even broke down, you know, the final drive this past weekend. There were guys open on most of the plays. I didn't like the final play call, but the rest of the plays, there were guys open. So even if it's a simple concept, there can be guys open, and it can be a good concept to attack any coverage. So you don't always have to be complex. You know, you love to see a little more complexity and creativity that maybe creates some more easy opportunities for your guys. But again, this is not something to me that's different. Like all of a sudden we got Kevin Petullo in there and, oh, it's changed. And now, you know, they dumbed down everything from where they were when they won a championship a year ago. It's not that. And you have to believe that a big part of these changes when you bring in a new coordinator is like, hey, we're not changing much. Like, don't come in and change everything. We just won a championship. Like, we've been in two Super Bowls in the last however many, 4 or 5 years. We're not going to change a lot. And so that makes sense why it's been the same through the different coordinators, with, sure, a little different feel with Kellen last year and some other guys, but primarily the same sort of stuff. And so I just think it's a tough situation for a first-time play caller that, you know, he gets put in there. You know they're going to run primarily the same offense. They didn't execute as well. He might not have, you know, made great adjustments, but he's in his first year of calling plays, and you have to expect, you know, things to be a little bit tougher there. And I think it's just unfortunate because, you know, we know they won the Super Bowl a year ago, and all of a sudden you put in a first-time play caller. Was that the right decision with the talent and the team and what you're trying to accomplish at this particular point, I think is probably the bigger question. You know, than some of that other stuff.
Well, I think the biggest question involves the quarterback, Kurt, which is kind of crazy because you're talking about somebody and you would know how difficult it is to come up with your best game in the Super Bowl because you did it three times. I guess you made it look easy, but but you did it three times. And Jalen Hurts has done it twice. And then the other years, he looks lost, like he's new. And I'm wondering if anything has to do, if that has to do with either his abilities, which is the red hot rumor and, you know, subtext of all the criticisms of him, or is it, take a look at this board we put together. This is absurd.
That is absurd.
Kurt, like,
oh,
look at,
gosh.
Shane Steichen's the only,
that's crazy,
time in 2021, 2022, the only offensive coordinator that Hurts has had in back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Going back to college, probably back to high school, Kurt.
Like, that is nuts. And again, you know, I can understand how that can affect. I always feel like when you get into a new system, it takes about a year to get comfortable with it. But back to what I was saying is, I don't believe this system is a new system. I don't think every year they're changing the way they call plays. And the concepts, as I said, were very similar. So I look at that a little bit differently. Of course, you know, the guy calling plays and how he sees the game and how you're connected to him. Of course, that can be a huge thing going from one guy to the next, going from a veteran guy to a young guy at calling plays. That can surely be it. But I know there's a lot of questions about, you know, what part of this does Jalen fit into in terms of what he wants to do and what he likes to do. You know, I've said, I don't think, you know, he's the greatest processor in terms of getting from one to two to three and working through his progressions quickly. But he's also not rare in the league in terms of not everybody is a great processor. When he knows where he wants to go with the football, he's a tremendous thrower of the football. And we've seen that, and it's why he's been so good in those big moments. To say, you know, just knowing Jalen like I do and what you're talking about with all these different systems and different guys, to tell me that they couldn't get more creative with their formations and motions, even if they were going to run some of the same concepts that they're running, which, again, these concepts are concepts that everybody around the league runs. So it's not like they're terrible concepts. To get more creative with some of those different things, you're going to tell me that Jalen Hurts couldn't call those plays give him a wristband like you see. I mean, whatever. I mean, that to me seems like the most ludicrous part of it is that that Jalen couldn't handle more on his plate. It may not be his favorite thing when you may be asking him to do a little bit more in terms of seeing things or reading coverage and what have you. But I just think that's a little bit crazy to say that, their simplicity of what they're doing is all because of Jalen Hurts. So I think it's a combination of a whole bunch of different things, including we've had success with this. We're going to stick with this. We're not going to make a bunch of wholesale changes because we have the roster. We have the talent. Let's do this. And then when it didn't work, try to get out of that when you've been doing those things for years or when you have a first-time play caller. I think it's going to always be a lot more difficult than if it's things that you've been doing or change-ups that you already have in the playbook.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Which quarterback won the All-22 Award? You're the QB confidential guy watching all the film. Who had the best performance in the wild card weekend? And it could be a quarterback who didn't win because we saw some great performances throughout the weekend. What do you have for me, Kurt?
We did. It's a good question. I wasn't thinking about it so much coming into this weekend. I'm going to actually probably say it was Caleb Williams. I thought he played a really good game, and not just in the fourth quarter. He was awesome in the fourth quarter. I thought he played well early. You know, the opening drive, they drove down and, they got stopped. I think they kicked the field goal. And then their next drive, they're driving down. It was the fourth down where I believe Luther Burden ran the wrong route, and it turns up being an interception there. But I thought he actually played fairly well early, and they moved the football. It was just, you know, going for it on some of those fourth downs and some of those questionable decisions, I think, what got him in the hole more than anything. But the second half, I thought he was really good. I thought this might have been the best game that he played all year long. I don't think we saw great quarterback play. I thought Josh played well too, and played well down the stretch to keep them in it and get them back in it late. But yeah, it wasn't necessarily great quarterback play, but I thought Caleb probably was the best, most complete performance of the weekend.
Well, that throw on fourth and eight when they had to go for it because they're down 11 erased all the other fourth downs that they went for and didn't get. Kurt, the fourth down decisions that were left us scratching our heads. And I know we talked about it on game day morning, Sunday morning, but you're shaking your head over that fourth.
Yeah,
throw,
it's incredible. I mean, and the thing is he makes so many big throws. Like if you go back and watch the game, and I've said it all year, is that, you know, if he can increase his efficiency, because, you know, you'll watch the game and all of a sudden you'll see him miss a throw by like 10 yards and you're like, how does that happen? And then he comes back and drops a perfect throw into tight coverage on the next one. But if you go back and watch the film, like if I go through the film on my with my plays and kind of click to one play to the next, to the next, to the next, what you see is 17, 22, 23, 35. Like you see all of these chunk big time plays that the Chicago Bears get. And that's the difference in those moments, is that he may not be the most efficient. He might miss on first and second down, but if you're going to be in three and four down mode, he's going to make one of those plays more than likely, and it's going to be a big play. And that's what got him back into this game, was big throw after big throw, big play after big play, you know, kind of culminating with the play you're talking about, which was just, you know, again, that's, you know, a handful of guys in our league, or the history of our league, make a throw like that. And then in that moment, fourth down, got to have it, fighting your way back to make that kind of throw going to his left was incredible. And so you see all of the elements that excite you about increase the efficiency, increase the accuracy, the decision-making in terms of processing the information, and add it to what we've already seen this year and year one with Ben Johnson, but year two in the NFL. I think everybody in Chicago and really around the league should be excited about what this team can be for the next decade.
All right, I'm going to ask you to rank 1 through 4, Kurt, before I let you go, because you love this sort of stuff. So I beg your pardon by asking you this, because we've already established anybody can win. Literally anybody that's left in the tournament can win the Super Bowl. We could make a great case for all 8. But I need you to rank likely to least likely road teams to win this weekend. Okay. You got the Bills at the Broncos, the Niners at Seattle, Texans at Patriots, Rams at Bears. Rank 1 through 4, most likely to win on the road to least likely.
Wow.
Knowing that all are likely.
Yeah. That's it. That's it.
But I'm not allowing you that option. Sorry to say.
You're not allowing me that option.
Most likely road team to win. Likely. Second most, third most, fourth most. Please.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the Rams as the most likely.
Why?
Because I still think they're just the most complete team. And I think just with the Bears, again, every week they prove something to me. But there's so many times where they find themselves down and they have to come back to win a football game. And I think it just shows to me that they're not a great football team across the board. And so of the teams that are left, I think there's more holes in the Bears, as great as they've been and they're playing at home. There's more holes in them than the other teams, in my opinion. And I also think the Rams, you know, you could argue that they're as good as anybody left, and their offense is as explosive as anybody that's left, and Matthew playing the way he is, and the two weapons. I just think they have a lot of reasons why they can go on the road and win, and they've got some veteran guys and guys that have been there. And so so I'll put them as most likely. Next most likely to win.
Texans at Patriots, Niners at Seattle, Bills at Broncos.
I'm actually going to go with the Texans.
Okay.
Second most likely. I look at the Patriots as a great season, a good team. They have a lot of really solid areas of their team. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're a great football team. And so I think there's some holes there, and there's things I worry about. And I think we saw some of those show up last week, even though the Chargers couldn't score any points. You just kind of saw what I feel their team is, a good, solid team. They'll play good defense. They won't make a lot of mistakes. Drake can make some plays, but I don't think they're a dominating team. And with the Texans and with that defense, you got to show me, like, show me that you can go out and beat this defense. And I have a lot of questions about the Texans offense. And CJ made some really bad decisions the other night. But even with that, they get a blowout win because their defense is so good. And so I think a combination of how good that defense is and just the Patriots being a good team, but not a great team to me, I'm going to put them second most likely. Then I'll go with the Bills. Of course, we know with Josh, that's likely. They've got some injuries. I worry about them on the outside, as I always do when they have to get into a throwing type game. I worry about that. But, you know, Josh is just, you know, so good, and he can elevate his team so well. And you know, still a young team in Denver, which again, hasn't been a great dominating team this year. Good on defense. Bo's been up and down. So because of that, I'll put them 3, and then I'll put San Francisco 4. And not that it's not likely that they could go in there and beat this team. It's just, I know what we saw a couple weeks ago. Now George Kittle down, and it's just, you know, the attrition for that football team. I don't put anything past them. Kyle and Brock and Christian, like, they keep finding ways. It's just a hard sell to go there with a team that's been rested, a team that beat you a couple weeks ago. It's got such a good defense, which is where you kind of have to hang your hat on offense. I'll slide them in at number four, even though, like you said, I mean, that's what's awesome is that I could see any of these wild card teams or road teams winning. And so it makes it another exciting weekend.
Kurt, you're the man. I'll see you this weekend, NFL game day morning on Saturday. QB Confidential, everybody check that out, where Kurt makes you smarter. Thanks for the time. That's Kurt Warner right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We beat it on down the line. Your phone calls 844-204-RICH before Kyle Brandt, hour two.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, here 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Kyle Brandt coming on an hour number two. Kurt Warner just named the Rams as the most likely road victor of divisional playoff weekend. Of course, old man winner might have something to say at the end of the day, along with Mother Nature. Supposed to be quite frigid on Sunday night, late Sunday afternoon, Sunday night in Chicago, and that might, you know, move things in a direction in on behalf of the Bears. But I do want to mention something here about how the Rams might be entering this contest against Chicago. Now, listen, the Rams do not have, if you will, a dog in the Bears-Packers hunt. Okay? Do the Bears care about the way the Packers feel about them right now? Not at all.
No.
Do the Rams care about the way the Packers and Bears feel about each other right now? Do they care about Matt LaFleur getting name-checked by Ben Johnson before the season? Do they care about Ben Johnson, you know, swim moving in a way, Matt LaFleur at the end of a game?
Yeah.
I'll just say this. Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur go way back, like a car seat, to the Washington staff. Back in the day, the Shanahan staff. Do you know where the Tennessee Titans plucked Matt LaFleur from to give him an offensive coordinator's gig from which he became the Green Bay Packers head coach? The staff of Sean McVay and the Los Angeles Rams. McVay refers to Matt LaFleur as somebody like a brother to him. Do you know who also feels like Matt LaFleur is a brother to him on the Rams staff? His actual brother. The offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur. Coming to Chicago on Sunday night. On behalf of the Rams organization and the Rams locker room and the Rams players and the Rams coaching staff. Just wondering if there might be something else bubbling beneath the surface. Just saying. just leaving that here.
I mean, unless Matt LaFleur is going to send over a notebook. If I'm a Ram player, that does nothing.
No, I'm not saying though it doesn't mean anything. Unless the Rams want to go all Hans Gruber and hit it again if they have an opportunity. And again. Just throwing it all out there about what might be discussed in meeting rooms. And obviously you have to go and execute that game plan. You've got to have that ability to do it. You got to go into this cold weather if you're a Los Angeles team and execute. But they might be coming in hot, is all I'm saying.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.